Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You don't have to be a denture wearer to realize that loose or uncomfortable dentures can make eating a challenge and clear speech difficult. Anyone who's seen a denture adhesive commercial knows that dentures may look like real teeth, but rarely function as well as your own chompers. Bridges work better, but compromise healthy teeth in order to anchor them. Yet for many years, dentures and bridges were the only option to replace missing teeth.
Fortunately, now there's a third option, dental implants, which first came onto the scene in 1965 and are becoming the treatment of choice for adults who are missing teeth. Who is a good candidate for dental implants? How well do they work? And how are they put in place? Here to walk us through the basics of dental implants is Dr. Philip Sheridan, Associate Professor of Dentistry in the Dental Specialties Department at the Mayo Clinic.
Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Sheridan.
Thank you.
Dental implants have been around for quite a while, but they've really taken off in the last couple of decades. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, can you explain what is a dental implant?
Well, I would explain that a dental implant is a titanium root. And I say titanium because most of the dental implants used today are made of titanium. When you think of a tooth, you see the crown of the tooth in your mouth. That's what you brush. That's what you floss. That's what the dentist drills when you have a cavity. But there's another part of the tooth that you don't see, and that's the root. And the root is underneath the gum tissue. It actually is embedded in the bone. And that's what holds the tooth in place. So a dental implant takes the place of the root. If you were to lose a tooth, whether it was extracted by the dentist or you knocked it out and you had a space in your mouth, the dentist could place a dental implant to replace the root that nature gave you. The root that nature gave you is made of calcium. It's hard. It's like bone. It's part of the tooth. The difference with an implant is we now are talking about a titanium root, and the crown is attached to the titanium root. So they're two separate pieces, whereas the crown of the tooth is actually attached and part of the tooth, part of the root.
So the titanium root is implanted into the jaw?
It's implanted into the jaw, and it can be used to replace one tooth, put a crown on it and replace a single tooth, or it can be used, or implants, multiple implants can be used to anchor dentures. They can be used to make bridges to replace teeth. So we have a lot of options available to us with these titanium roots.
Now, is this something that anybody can have done, or are there some people who are better candidates than others?
Well, most anybody can have it done. There are exceptions. There sometimes are medical conditions that may factor into this and be a bit of a contraindication. There are situations when patients don't have enough bone to anchor dental implants, whether there's been shrinkage of the bone, and maybe bone grafting would be necessary in order to be able to use implants. But most people can have implants, and age really doesn't seem to be much of a factor. I remember a few years ago, I had a 90-year-old lady come in and say she wanted dental implants. I asked, "Why do you want dental implants?" And she said, "Because I want to be able to eat pizza." So quality of life is a factor, and age doesn't seem to be a deterrent. There are medical conditions and situations which contraindicate the use of dental implants. For instance, a patient who's had radiation to the jaws because of cancer is not a good candidate for dental implants. And the reason for that is the bone is changed by the radiation. So the risk of failure of the dental implant, or failure to what we call osseointegrate, is greater in patients that have been irradiated. Now, when you put an implant in, we talk about integration or osseointegration. What we're looking for is the bone to actually fuse to the implant so they become one. You can't take an implant and extract it the way you can a tooth. It actually fuses to the bone. And in some instances, that fusion doesn't occur. And people who've had irradiated jaws are at a higher risk of having that fail. There are people taking certain medications who are probably not good risk because of the potential for problems. An example is some of the medications that are used to prevent metastasis of cancer. Some of the infusible bisphosphonate drugs affect the bone in such a way that two things can happen. The implant cannot integrate. The other problem that we see with people taking these drugs is after any dental surgical procedure, they can develop something that's called osteonecrosis, which is an area of dead bone that doesn't heal. And so those kinds of things can happen when you try to place implants in these patients. But the vast majority of people can have dental implants.
How involved is the procedure? For instance, how many visits would a patient have to make from beginning to end?
Well, from beginning to end, I think the first step is a visit with the dentist to go in and say, can I have dental implants, or how can we replace this tooth or these teeth, or can I have dental implants to anchor my denture? So the dentist will do an examination. The dentist will examine the ridge and the mouth and look at the bite and the space between the jaws. The dentist will make x-rays to make a determination if you're a candidate. Is there enough bone? Can we do this? And then if the dentist says, yes, we can do this, the next step most likely is to do the surgery and place the dental implants. So that would be another visit. Then after that's done, there may be some post-operative visits, but in some instances, we may be waiting as long as 3 or 4 months before we put teeth on the implants or anchor the denture to the implants. So there may be a long period of time there, but then we've got another visit or two to get things done. So we're looking at 4 or 5 visits, perhaps, start to finish.
Is this all done with local anesthesia, or do people have to be sedated?
It frequently is a patient's preference. For a single implant, it's done very quickly. It can be done very easily with local anesthetic. What I tell patients is, you are going to be completely numb when we do this. I can't have you jiggling around in the chair. You've got to be numb. So with local anesthesia, we can make patients very adequately numb so they really don't experience pain. There may be some discomfort afterwards. Surprisingly, it's often very little. But if the patient's preference is anesthesia, IV sedation, then we leave that up to the patient. And if the patient chooses to have it done that way, it can be done that way. If we're doing a long and complicated procedure where we're taking out multiple teeth and we're putting in a number of implants and it's going to take 2 or 3 hours, and sometimes these cases can, especially when you're doing a lot or a full mouth, then I will usually suggest to the patient IV sedation. It's just easier to take a snooze and have this all done than to sit in the chair and listen to me cranking on your teeth and saying bad words whatever I do. But it's kinder to the patient sometimes to consider IV sedation when you do this.
How long is the lifespan of an implant?
Well, we'd like to think they're going to last the rest of your life. Nobody can promise that, but we started doing implants here in our practice in 1983, so 31 years ago. And a high percentage of those implants are still there and still functioning. Some of the patients are no longer around, but most of the implants are there. The vast majority of the implants are still there after 31 years.
We just have a minute left, but I wanted to ask you, what's being developed? What do you think the next thing will be in terms of dental implants, either making it quick, easy, and less painful for the patient? Or is there something else that someone in your field is working on that will replace the dental implant?
Well, there may be new materials. People are doing research and looking at other materials that you can use for dental implants, although the titanium is really working quite well, just as it's working for hips and knees and things. It works quite well, and it's working quite well for us. But there obviously could be improvements in materials over time. And probably the one of the major concerns is how quickly you can load. What I mean by that is put a tooth on an implant, or put a bridge on implants, or put attached dentures to implants, how quickly you can load. And people want to get these things done as quickly as they can. As far as the speed of the procedure, it doesn't take long to place a dental implant. It's a very short procedure. As far as pain, if you use local anesthesia, the only discomfort that the patient should experience would be the needle sticks to make it numb. And a competent practitioner can frequently make you numb with very little discomfort. Even if you have IV sedation, they still stick a little needle in your arm, so there's going to be some slight localized short discomfort, but I don't think we can improve on it too much unless they come up with another way of making things numb without using a needle.
Dr. Philip Sheridan, Associate Professor of Dentistry in the Dental Specialties Department at the Mayo Clinic, talking about dental implants. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.